It's a new day. Hear his word. Let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Wednesday, the 5th of August. Let's begin together by praying a portion of Psalm 92 this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to proclaim your love at daybreak, your faithfulness in the night. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your designs. The just shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit even in old age. They will stay fresh and green, to proclaim, "The Lord is just, my rock, in whom there is no wrong." All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It is the Sunrise Morning Show. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lachman running the board for the Sunrise Morning Show here on EWTN. Picked that psalm because it references Lebanon, and I hope that we're all praying for our brothers and sisters affected by the horrific explosion there yesterday. Later this hour, Tufik Bakhlini from In Defense of Christians, who his home country is Lebanon, is going to talk a little bit about what the events were yesterday, what we know about them, what the aftermath has been. Also this hour, Dr. John Bergsman will talk about St. Augustine and the formation of the Old Testament canon. Marcela Jeune will talk about how the devil tries to divide us during difficult times, an appropriate topic for these days when we're headed toward an election and still in a pandemic. And then Gary Zimak will be with us, and he is going to talk about what we can learn from Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, stay with us if you can. Right now it is 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Pope Francis is offering his prayers today for the people of Lebanon in the wake of an explosion yesterday in Beirut that has left at least 100 people dead and thousands more injured. The blast is being blamed on 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. Lebanon's prime minister says it was left unsecured in a warehouse for 6 years. He's vowing to punish those responsible and calling for a 2-week state of emergency. Vatican News reports the Holy Father asked for prayers for Lebanon during his general audience today. He said, quote, "Let us pray for the victims, for their families, and let us pray for Lebanon so that through the dedication of all its social, political, and religious elements, it might face this extremely tragic and painful moment and, with the help of the international community, overcome the grave crisis they are experiencing," end quote. In Washington, President Trump says he is considering taking action on unemployment benefits during the coronavirus outbreak. Mark Mayfield has a story.
We are looking at it. We're also looking at various other things that I'm allowed to do under the system.
During a briefing, Trump explained lawmakers are making progress on an economic relief package. The enhanced unemployment benefits that were included in the CARES Act expired last week. That has been one of the issues keeping Republicans and Democrats from making a deal. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Democratic leaders and the Trump administration, meanwhile, will continue hammering out a coronavirus relief bill today. Negotiators say they could reach a deal on a new stimulus package by the end of the week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, as well as White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, all expressed confidence after they met yesterday. Novavax's first round of human COVID-19 vaccine trial is apparently showing some positive results. Dean Muccio has more.
The company reported Tuesday that all of their trial volunteers developed antibodies for the coronavirus. The data from the study is now going to scientific journals to review before publishing. Through Operation Warp Speed, the federal government granted Novavax over $1.5 billion to create a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as possible. Dean Muccio, NBC News Radio.
Isaias is now a post-tropical cyclone, leaving at least six dead and millions without electricity. The storm made landfall Monday night in North Carolina as a Category 1 hurricane, losing strength as it moved quickly up the East Coast. Two people were killed by a tornado in North Carolina. Three were killed by falling trees in Maryland, New York City, and Delaware, while another person died when her car was caught in floodwaters in Pennsylvania. The remnants of the storm are currently over Canada. The U.S. Census Bureau is stopping the count early. The 2020 census will conclude September 30th to try to crunch the numbers for a December 31st deadline. But only six out of every 10 households have been counted so far, and the new deadline means there are less than 2 months left to collect information. Congressional Democrats have expressed concern that the White House is pressing the Bureau to end the count, which could mean to them more House seats going to Republicans. They say they hope to include a provision in the newest coronavirus relief bill allowing for an extension to the count. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is mourning ahead of the 75th anniversary of the atomic bombings on Japan. The USCCB says it's mourning the innocent lives lost in the attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The president of the USCCB, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, says he's thinking about the generations that continue to suffer the public health and environmental consequences of the bombing. Hiroshima was bombed on August 6, 1945, with Nagasaki hit 3 days later. Archbishop Gomez said in his statement, quote, "We ask our Blessed Mother Mary, the Queen of Peace, to pray for the human family and for each one of us, remembering the violence and injustice of the past," he said. "May we commit ourselves to being peacemakers as Jesus Christ calls us to be," end quote.
You know, Anna Mitchell, if anybody wants to read a good book about the whole bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, go to Ignatius Press and pick up a copy of A Song for Nagasaki. It's the incredible story of Takashi Nagai, who was a Catholic radiologist, a survivor of the Nagasaki bomb. He is affectionately known as the Saint of Urakami, but officially known as a servant of God.
Yes.
In the church. So yeah, if you have a chance to go pick up A Song for Nagasaki, it's an incredible story of one man's Catholic faith. Of course, Nagasaki, basically the Catholic headquarters of Japan. That's where Saint Maximilian Kolbe built his monastery. So.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that anniversary, well, Hiroshima's anniversary is tomorrow, and then a few days later, the anniversary of Nagasaki, 75 years. Crazy. Today is Wednesday, August the 5th. Right now, we're coming up on 8 minutes past the hour. Joining us on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. John Bergsma, co-author of A Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Anna.
So we've been talking about how the early church came to identify which books would be part of what we now know as the Old Testament, which back then was scripture approved for reading during liturgy. And we spoke last time about how the early Christians didn't really make this much of a priority until after Christianity was legalized, I guess kind of a luxury item to be thinking about when you're, you know, dying brutally for the faith. So let's go to the 4th century. What did St. Augustine have to say about all this?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, Anna, to look at what St. Augustine says about what books belong in the Bible, especially because St. Augustine is such an authority, not only in the Catholic Church, but also in much of Protestantism. For example, the big Protestant groups that follow Luther and Calvin both have a lot of respect for St. Augustine because Luther and Calvin quote Augustine all the time, and those two Protestant reformers really regarded themselves as carrying on Augustine's traditions, rightly or wrongly, we can discuss at a different time, but again, Augustine's an authority. And so there's a long passage in St. Augustine's classic work on Christian doctrine, that's the title of it, and he says basically that when you're trying to figure out what books belong in the Bible, you need to follow the judgment of the greater number of Catholic churches, and that's quoting right out of what he says. So he doesn't offer, you know, any, you know, other principles or criteria, but it's basically the judgment of the churches, especially the churches that are older and were founded by an apostle and are the seat of an apostle. And, of course, the oldest church associated with, you know, the seats of an apostle is really Rome, which mm-hmm. is associated by the two greatest ones, Peter and Paul. So, by implication, you know, the Church of Rome would be the weightiest authority on what books belong in the Bible.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the so-called deuterocanonical books as we continue our discussions on all of this. These are the books that you'll find in a Catholic Bible, but not in a Protestant Bible. Of course, Augustine lived long before the Protestant Revolt, the Reformation, but where does he come down on this front about those books in particular?
Yeah, it's so fascinating, Anna, because I was about 29, and I was in the first year of my doctoral program in Scripture at the University of Notre Dame. I was not a Catholic. As people might know, many of the grad students at Notre Dame are not Catholic, but go there for various reasons, generous funding being a major reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, from football money, but we won't go there. Anyway, so I was in my doctoral program, and we were doing a course on patristics, and we had to read Augustine. Of course, I had a lot of respect for Augustine because I come from the Calvinist tradition. And so I'm reading through, and he says, the whole canon of Scripture is contained in the following books, and I'm reading Augustine here, and he begins to list all the familiar ones. But then he says, oh, and there's these other biblical books, Tobias, Esther, Judith, the two books of Maccabees, and I'm like, what? he's got these, you know, to me as a Protestant, these non-biblical books listed here. He goes on to add, you know, Sirach and the Wisdom of Solomon, and he just lists them all and says they're authoritative and they belong among the prophetic books. So, yeah, to sum up, Anna, Augustine gives us the complete list of Old Testament books that the Catholic Church has used ever since and that you'd find in the Bible today. So that, again, was a shocker to me, but because I was told growing up that these books had been added to the Bible during the Reformation period, you know, to support those unbiblical Catholic doctrines like purgatory and such. But here in the 4th century, Augustine lists them all.
I want to kind of pivot to talk about one other thing that comes out from Augustine and his thought on canonical Scripture. What is the difference, Dr. Bergsma, between conferring inspired status to Scripture and recognizing inspired status, and why is that distinction important to note?
Yeah, it's really important, Anna, because what you'll hear non-Catholic theologians say is that we Catholics think that the Church makes a book inspired. Like the Church has the power to make a book inspired. And that's actually not what we believe. The Church has never claimed that, oh, yeah, we can have a council and we can just, I don't know, make the writings of Cajetan or something like that inspired. You know, never believed that. We've always held that God inspired writers of Scripture. God inspired both the writers and the writing. So God makes a book inspired, and the Church just recognizes that, Anna. The Church looks at it, and guided by the Holy Spirit, says, yes, you know, that is one of the books that God inspired. So, you know, if anybody ever hears that, if you're talking with, you know, a non-Catholic Christian, don't be shaken, you know, if they make this accusation that, oh, you think that the Church makes books. No, we don't. Never have. And it's really rather shocking, Anna, because I've read persons with, you know, multiple degrees in theology make this claim, which is really false. So God alone inspires a book. God alone inspires a sacred author. And the Church doesn't confer that status on a book. The Church just recognizes that status and makes it known so that it's not just a personal decision of all of us. You know, it's not like, oh, I read Esther and I decide or I recognize whether it's inspired. No, that's not up to individual Christians. It's up to the Church as a whole, and the Church speaks through her councils.
Yeah, and actually, just before we let you go, how did the canon of Scripture sort of come to be in the late 4th century?
Sure. So that's where, you know, at that time you get several church councils being called, and they kind of hammer this out. And it really begins with the Council of Rome under Pope Damasus I in the year 382, and they had a council and said, this is the canon for the Universum Catholicum Ecclesiam, is what they said in Latin, which means the Universal Catholic Church. And they listed the full 44 books of the Old Testament. And then other councils in North Africa over the next couple of decades kept reaffirming that same list of books, and you see it reaffirmed in St. Augustine. And then everybody went with that. And it really wasn't an issue again until the late medieval period, like in the 1400s, when they were trying to reunite the Eastern and Western churches, and then the question of canon came up again. But all through the Middle Ages, you know, people just went with what was decided by the Council of Rome in 382.
Very interesting, very good information. Thank you so much, Dr. John Bergsma. You can find A Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament, linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Let's quickly take a look at the weather across the nation. Isaias will depart into eastern Canada with a little bit of leftover rain across northern New England early this morning. Then there will be peaks of sunshine, but then some more showers and thunderstorms later. The Plains, Central Rockies, and Southwest will see an initial wave of showers and storms sweeping through this morning before yet another round flares up this evening. Meanwhile, high pressure will settle across the Mississippi, Ohio, and Tennessee valleys, which will spark a sun-filled sky, just like parts of the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic today. Otherwise, another hot and dry day on tap for the West Coast and the Great Basin. We got headlines coming up next on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's 17 past.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Have you gotten in the habit of making your own coffee at home but miss those unique coffee shop blends and brews? Why not have the best of both worlds by getting yourself some Mystic Monk coffee?
The monks offer a number of specialty coffees and teas, which would be particularly good over ice on a hot summer day. And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, we get a portion of your purchase price.
While you're at our site, check out our online store to get a coffee mug and other Sunrise Morning Show swag.
Find our store and link to Mystic Monk coffee at sonrisemorningshow.com.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel like God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
18 minutes past the hour. Here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
Pope Francis is offering his prayers for the people of Lebanon in the wake of an explosion yesterday in Beirut that left at least 100 people dead. President Trump is considering taking action on unemployment benefits during the coronavirus outbreak, and Pope Francis yesterday appointed a married father of two as the new secretary of the Holy See's Secretariat for the Economy.
All right, news at the top and bottom of each hour every weekday morning here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Anna Mitchell, I know we're going to be talking with Tufik Baklini about this a lot later. Just horrific images
Of
Lebanon.
Yeah.
And I was speaking actually with Rita Heikenfeld, our Bible Foods lady, mm-hmm. and she's going to do a segment on Lebanon. You know, I think it's easy to forget that, and I mentioned it in the prayer at the beginning of the hour and from Psalm 92, Lebanon's mentioned over 70 times in the Bible from the Old Testament up through the New. When Christianity took root in the days of the apostles, Lebanon was one of the first places that Christianity took root.
And then when you look at sort of the political history of Lebanon, it was literally carved out of the Middle East as a country for Christians.
Where Christians could safely practice their faith. And now it's, you know, kind of
in the Sykes-Picot Treaty of World War One.
They talk about it as a secular government. What that means is it's not run by a specific religious group.
But as we'll hear from Tufik and have heard from Tufik in the past, government not so great right now in Lebanon.
Not at all.
I mean, it'll be interesting to hear what Tufik has to say about all of this. I mean, he was born with Beirut in sight. Pray for Lebanon.
Have you gotten in the habit of making your own coffee at home but miss those unique coffee shop blends and brews? Why not have the best of both worlds by getting yourself some Mystic Monk Coffee?
The Monks offer a number of specialty coffees and teas, which would be particularly good over ice on a hot summer day. And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, we get a portion of your purchase price.
While you're at our site, check out our online store to get a coffee mug and other Sunrise Morning Show swag.
Find our store and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sonrisemorningshow.com.
Hello, I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. We all know that famous last words can be very important. This is true for Tobit. Listen to his last words to his son. I give you this command, serve God faithfully, and do what is right before him. Tell your children to do what is upright, and give alms, and be mindful of God at all times, to bless his name sincerely, and with all your strength. That's quite a statement from a man who earlier had prayed that God would take his life. He tells God, command my life breath to be taken away from me. That, of course, was Tobit speaking out of his despair, assuming that there was no more meaning to his life. He could not imagine his life going in any new direction, and so he asked God to take him. What he discovers, of course, is that God has a much better plan. And in a sense, the best years of Tobit's life were experienced after the year he had prayed for God to take his life. Tobit learned to trust in God's plan rather than in his own plans. Tobit's last words reveal a man who has transformed his life and is finally listening to the Lord. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Marcel Lejeune from Catholic Missionary Disciples. You can find them linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Marcel, good morning.
Morning, Matt.
So we're talking about the ways that the devil tries to mess with us, and especially during quarantine, and you kind of broken them down into three categories. Start with the ways that the devil tries to lie to us while we're in this kind of weird time.
Yeah, so the devil's a liar. I mean, he is by nature. He can't not lie. For the simple fact that he is a liar, he's going to do that. And that's what he really starts to lie about, is identity issues. So he knows that God is good, but he lies about that. He tells us that God doesn't want our best, that God is not good, that God doesn't want to bring some kind of good out of this pandemic. And then he lies about our identity, and he tells us that what's going to make us happy is the money and the freedom and all those things about the world, pleasures and other stuff. And he uses the pandemic to do it. And he says, well, you can't have those things, or maybe you've lost your job and your identity is affected. You know, that's the kind of thing he lies about in order to try to get us off our game. And we have to be prepared for that. In fact, I think it's good to know the tactics of the devil, because when you know the tactics of the devil, you know how to fight against him.
Well, and again, think about all the ways that the devil makes us think that we're going to feel better, and all the ways that, you know, so many of us have gone back to old dumb habits or are so quick to anger and are so quick to judge and are so quick to think that the reality of the universe is whatever we're seeing in our social media feeds. There's just so much in that particular temptation of Satan. But let's move on to this second one, because I think it ties in well to all of this, that the devil is using this as a time to stir up division and suspicion and anger and hatred.
Yeah, and he's doing this both inside and outside of the church, too. And I think, he's using politics, he's using our own sensibilities about the devotions that we like in the church. He does all kinds of stuff. And one thing the devil does not want is for us to be united. He doesn't like that, because when we're united, we're more powerful. We can resist him better. And God is the one who wants us united. Remember that in the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is in the book of John, right after the Last Supper, Jesus is praying for the apostles and for the church. And he prays and he allows the apostles to hear him. So this is recorded prayer. This is the longest recorded prayer we have of Jesus in the Bible. And one of the things he prays for, the kind of the center of his prayer, is unity. He says, "Lord, you and I are one. May they be one as you and I are." This is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, "Father, you and I are one, and the church is meant to be one." And so here is Jesus praying for unity. It is one of the signs of the church. Think of the creed. We say that the church is one, holy, apostolic, Catholic, right? This is one of the signs of the church, is this unity. And unity is not, okay, we ignore our differences or we ignore our problems. No, unity is when we focus on what brings us together. Well, what makes us one in the Catholic Church? It's God himself. It's his truth that we all say, and agree upon. These are the things that make us one. And the Eucharist also makes us one. So here comes the devil. He wants to divide us. How's he going to do that? Well, he's going to attack the things that make us one. He's going to attack the Eucharist. And so here we have less access to the liturgy. People arguing over, what kind of liturgy is best. He's going to attack all of the other things that make us one. He attacks the truth and what is good. And he attacks our agreement in these things. So we have to resist him. And we got to make sure that while he's stirring up this division and this enmity between peoples, that we fight against him, and that our response should always be love. Now, love is not nice, and love doesn't just wash over these things that, divide us. But we don't want to have angst. We don't want to have disobedience to our church leaders. And then we got the outside stuff, especially in politics. And we got to remember that politics don't save us. And I'll say that again, politics don't save us. Jesus saves us. And he is the one who has the power to fix all these problems in our culture, not politics. So we have to allow our religion to inform our politics more than our politics inform our religion. And I think right now some people have it backwards, and that's part of what's causing this division between peoples, and the devil is pleased.
And again, that suspicion that we then have for our fellow man, it's just divisive, and it just destroys. It'll destroy families if we let it. I mean, can you think of any person in your life that's worth ruining a friendship over because of something that some famous politician has said or done?
Yeah, no, I can't, and that's part of it. But the other thing is, what happens is when people are texting back and forth or on social media back and forth, you're more likely to say something you wouldn't face-to-face, right? And right now, we don't have a lot of face-to-face with some of our friends, especially those long distance or people that we've been away from for a long time because we've been isolated. So let's not fall into the trap of doing things we wouldn't do face-to-face but just because we have an opportunity to do them electronically. And this is part of the tactic of the devil. He doesn't want you to have this unity, to have this love that binds us together with God.
Well, I on social media, I try and keep it fairly light. I'll make a joke here and there, and sometimes people don't get the humor, and they'll come after me. Or sometimes people will try and hit me for something. And whenever I get a tweet, a nasty tweet from random name, random numbers, I usually just disregard.
Yeah.
You've got more of this topic, of three tactics of the devil during this crisis, linked at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. Again, CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. Marcel Ajan, always great chatting with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
By the way, that random names, random numbers guy, it's amazing how many accounts he has on Twitter. Look out for that guy. If you're going to say something, put your name on it. It is 1:30. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. A Lebanese Catholic priest is asking for prayers following yesterday's deadly explosion in Beirut. The death toll now stands at least 100 after the massive explosion rocked Beirut yesterday. The number of injured is around 4,000. The blast is being blamed on 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. Lebanon's prime minister says it was left unsecured in a warehouse for 6 years. Father Maled El-Skayem told EWTN News, quote, "We ask your nation to carry Lebanon in its hearts at this difficult stage, and we place great trust in you and in your prayers, and that the Lord will protect Lebanon from evil through your prayers," end quote. Pope Francis offered his prayers for Lebanon today during his general audience. The Holy Father said, quote, "Let us pray for the victims, for their families, and let us pray for Lebanon so that through the dedication of all its social, political, and religious elements, it might face this extremely tragic and painful moment and, with the help of the international community, overcome the grave crisis they are experiencing," end quote. Novavax's first round of a human COVID-19 vaccine trial is showing positive results. Dean Muccio has more.
The company reported Tuesday that all of their trial volunteers developed antibodies for the coronavirus. The data from the study is now going to scientific journals to review before publishing. Through Operation Warp Speed, the federal government granted Novavax over $1.5 billion to create a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as possible. Dean Muccio, NBC News Radio.
The pro-life's Charlotte Lozier Institute lists the Novavax vaccine program as ethically uncontroversial, meaning it has not used an aborted fetal cell line to develop their vaccine. Democratic leaders and Trump administration officials will continue hammering out a coronavirus relief bill today. Negotiators say they could reach a deal on a new stimulus package by the end of this week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows all expressed confidence after they met on Tuesday. Pope Francis yesterday appointed a married father of two as the new secretary of the Holy See's Secretariat for the Economy. From Vatican Radio, Sister Bernadette Reese reports.
Of all the various career opportunities I could have imagined, this is one that would never have crossed my mind. These are the words with which Maximino Caballero welcomed Pope Francis's appointment that designates him as the number two person in the SPE. He has worked as finance leader in various European countries, the Middle East, and Africa. In 2007, he moved to the United States along with his family, where he has since resided. In the U.S., Caballero has held various high-ranking finance positions at Baxter Healthcare Incorporated, an internationally publicly owned global medical products and services company based in Deerfield, Illinois. Caballero says his work has allowed him to know diverse cultures and has helped him understand the importance and the power of diversity. The thought is quite widespread, Caballero says, that only priests and nuns matter in the church, and that the rest of us are only spectators. However, the lay faithful have a very important task to carry out within the church. We are all members of the same body, and we all have our mission. To collaborate with the Holy See, Caballero concludes, at the service of the Holy Father is an honor and a great responsibility for me. My experience and my work are my talents, and I hope that with them I can do my part to collaborate in the economic transparency of the Holy See. I will face this new phase in our lives with humility and with gratitude to Father Guerrero for having proposed me as a candidate and to the Holy Father for having placed his trust in me. Caballero will be active in his new position as of the second half of August. I'm Sister Bernadette Reese.
Isaias is now a post-tropical cyclone, leaving at least six dead and millions without power. The storm made landfall Monday night in North Carolina as a Category 1 hurricane and has lost strength as it moved quickly up the East Coast. Joe Biden is reportedly ready to start interviewing potential running mates. Mark Mayfield has more.
The mayor of Los Angeles is on the selection committee and told MSNBC Biden will be narrowing his list in the coming days. He says Biden wants to pick someone who has a similar relationship to what he had with Barack Obama. Biden has vowed to choose a woman. and we'll reveal that person next week, this ahead of accepting the Democratic presidential nomination. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
That's the news. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. It's 35 past the hour.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
Need some gear to do summer at home this year? Many of us will be turning to Amazon to find it.
Or maybe you're buying graduation, confirmation, or first communion gifts to ship. If so, please go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon. Then shop as usual, and you'll earn us a commission without spending anything extra.
With a decrease in underwriters during the pandemic, these commissions, no matter how small, add up and help keep us on the air.
So again, before doing your online shopping, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
What does the church say about excommunication? With regard to the Catholic Church, to be excommunicated is to have been cut off from the sacraments and from participating in liturgical ministry in the Mass or other public worship by the Church. Because of the seriousness of excommunication, this level of punishment is applied to only relatively limited types of offenses. These include desecration of the Blessed Eucharist, physical force against the Pope, procuring an abortion, rejection of the Church's teachings through apostasy, heresy, or schism, violation of the seal of confession, and consecration of one bishop by another without mandate by the Pope. In cases of specified very serious offenses, for example, having or participating in the occurrence of an abortion, the mere fact that the act is carried out is cause for the penalty. In other instances, the penalty is not imposed automatically, but only after a thorough investigation of the matter and formally notifying the person involved of the seriousness and potential consequences of the act. If you have concerns or questions about the matter of excommunication, please consult a priest for guidance and direction. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
Thirty-seven minutes past the hour. It is the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Gary Zimak. You can find him online at followingthetruth.com, get his daily emails, check out several of his books, and find out all the other things that Gary is up to. Gary, good morning.
Hey, Matt, good morning.
So if we want to know how to pray, a good thing to do is look at how Jesus himself prayed. No one has a more intimate relationship with the Father in prayer than the second person of the actual Trinity. So if we're going to look at Jesus's prayer, I guess one of the most powerful places to go is the Garden of Gethsemane.
It really is, Matt, and that's why I wanted to look at this particular verse today. So I would say if anybody is listening to this and hear and is suffering in some way and is wondering the best way to pray, I say we look right to Jesus. Today I'm going to read from Mark 14:36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this chalice from me, but not what I will, but what you will." And Matt, I think we can get a few things out of that particular verse, the wording of Jesus. Number one, God is our Father, and because of that, we know that he loves us. Number two, he can do all things. Number three, it's perfectly acceptable to ask for our suffering to be taken away. And finally, if we are going to pray in this way, we should, like Jesus, be willing to accept whatever is the will of the Father. And if we do this, Matt, if we learn to pray like this, we're going to be filled with the Lord's peace.
Yeah, such a profound way to understand prayer that Jesus himself, first of all, was facing incredible difficulty and he knew it, and he was not afraid to offer that to the Father. But he was also willing to go through with it if that's what the Father wanted him to do, which, of course, he knew that's what the Father wanted him to do. And, you know, sometimes I find it interesting because I'll pray for something to be different when I know deep down what God actually wants me to do. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, Gary.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time. And you know, Matt, Jesus in his humanity is giving us the perfect example of how to handle those situations, to admit that, look, this is going to be painful. You know, if there's any way this can be taken away from you. And again, you're right. He knew what his role was. He knew what the Father's will was for him. He knew he was headed to the cross. But he prayed in this way so he could give us an example. And I think, Matt, the fact that he starts this particular prayer, and Mark does such a nice job saying this, with, Father, all things are possible to you. You know, that idea that I'm praying to a God who can do all things. So if it's his will to remove this suffering from me, he can do it. I think, Matt, when we pray like that, it really gives us confidence in God's ability to take care of our problem.
Well, what it also does, Gary, is it reinforces the idea that there is an answer to the mystery of suffering.
Right.
I know everybody kind of like, you know, speculates on why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people and why, you know, this or that suffering comes upon us. And the answer is always the cross.
Right.
That's the only solution to any of it. The answer isn't it happened because of X, Y, and Z event in your life. The answer is we have one who went before us and suffered like us, but did not sin.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And Matt, we can always take our suffering and unite it with the suffering of the Lord. But, you know, I've met a lot of people who will say, well, I don't want to pray for myself even though I'm sick because so many other people need more prayers. And I don't feel it's right to pray for myself or pray for this illness to be taken away. I should just carry my cross. Well, that's not the example that Jesus sets for us. And I think we need to remember that. We should. And if we're suffering, if we're sick, we could pray for healing. And if the Lord wants us to carry that cross, well, then it's going to remain, you know. But there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, please take this cross away from me. Because if he does, that could really boost your faith. If you have a miraculous healing in some way in your life, because I've seen healings like this, then it can boost your faith and actually strengthen your relationship with the Lord.
But again, the key is, are you taking the pain to God? Even if you are asking why, even if you are asking, you know, difficult things, even if you are complaining and frustrated and angry, at least you're talking to him. I mean, how many people do we know in our own lives who have gotten that anger, that frustration, that suffering, and have basically cut off all communications with God as a result? If you're at least communicating that anger, that frustration, that suffering to God, you are at least still in relationship.
Exactly. And that's a great way to pray. I mean, the book of Psalms is just filled with prayers like that. Lord, where are you? Why won't you take this away? And you're right. If you are suffering, rather than complain to somebody else, bring your complaint to God, because that's prayer.
Yeah, it is prayer. And, you know, think about, you know, when we pray the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, what are we doing except for looking at everything that happened after Jesus prayed this prayer? And a lot of things happen to our Lord, but because he prayed, you know, and went through that, he gives us a model, but he also gives us a model of how you act when you know what God's will actually is, even if it's hard.
Right, right. And he doesn't downplay the suffering, and that's what I like, because we can sometimes be tempted to look at the suffering of Christ and say, well, he was God, so wasn't that bad for him? He didn't have to suffer. Well, he did have to suffer. He allowed himself to take on a human body and suffer the same pains that we're able to suffer. So he acknowledges how bad the suffering was, but he still, as you say, is willing to take it to the cross to do God's will, no matter how it hurts.
Well, we encourage those out there who are listening today and going through something extremely difficult to follow this model that Jesus gives us in Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this chalice from me, yet not what I will, but you will. First, acknowledge God can do all things. Second, ask for what you need. Third, be willing to accept God's will no matter what the answer is. Great stuff this morning, Gary. If our listeners want to connect with you and find your resources, maybe sign up for your daily email, how do they get in touch?
Matt, the best place is my website, followingthetruth.com.
Linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thanks so much. Say hello to all of our friends listening in Philly on Holy Spirit Radio.
Will do, buddy.
All right. It is a quarter till. Anna Mitchell has headlines next, plus Tufik Baklini from In Defense of Christians. Stay with us.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. SolidarityHealthShare.org.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. During these challenging times, it is comforting to have a media source like the Sunrise Morning Show to offer the Catholic perspective on news and current events, and to be able to hear from many of the most inspiring teachers of our faith. The Central Fabricator family encourages you to pray the rosary daily for an end to the coronavirus. May God bless your family, our nation, and the entire world from everyone at centralfabricators.com.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Fourteen minutes before the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
Pope Francis offered his prayers for Lebanon today during his general audience following the deadly explosion yesterday in Beirut. More on that in just a few moments. Novavax's first round of a human COVID-19 vaccine trial is apparently showing positive results. It's listed by the pro-life Charlotte Lozier Institute as an ethically uncontroversial vaccine. And Isaias is now a post-tropical cyclone, but left at least six dead and millions without power in its wake. You can hear news at the top and bottom of each hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's 13 till. The Sunrise Morning Show continues. Tufik Paklini is joining us now. He's president of In Defense of Christians. Tufik, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, at least 100 people have died and thousands more are listed as injured in the wake of these explosions yesterday in Beirut. Footage of the explosion is simply horrifying. Tufik, what have you been hearing about the situation on the ground?
It's a disaster area. The explosion was so huge. I mean, as you know, Lebanon has been through many wars in the past. The people have never seen anything like this ever before. It's a disaster area. People are homeless in the thousands. In fact, hundreds of thousands of people are homeless.
Do you know much about the area or these buildings where the explosion took place?
Yes, I do. I know the area very well. It's in the eastern part of Beirut, mostly a Christian-populated area. That's where the port authority is located.
What do you think about these reports of ammonium nitrate just sitting there unsupervised for 6 years? Does that surprise you?
No, because of such a government in Lebanon, a government that is basically a failed government that's doing nothing to the Lebanese people, a corrupt government as well. And no, it doesn't surprise me for such a government for doing nothing.
Now, you were on the show just a few weeks ago to talk about the dire situation of the Lebanese people just in general, but also and especially amid the coronavirus pandemic. So how devastating is this for them on top of all of that?
Oh, it's totally devastating. In fact, today, Cardinal Ryan, the patriarch of the Maronite Catholics in Lebanon, and the Council of Bishops just announced Beirut as a disaster area, and they've opened the churches, monasteries, and support from Caritas and the Lebanese Red Cross. There are, I believe, about 300,000 homeless, mostly Christians, in that area.
Wow. Wow. And that's not even to mention all of those who are injured. And the hospitals in Beirut were already overrun with patients, were they not?
Yes. In fact, they were overrun since last night, and some of them are not operational, as one of the largest hospitals, St. George Orthodox Hospital, is one of the largest ones in that part of Beirut, was totally damaged. So, yes, they're overwhelmed. They need help and support. And yesterday, President Trump offered support to the Lebanese and to support in any way that the U.S. aid would be coming to support in this.
And this is something that In Defense of Christians is calling on all of the international community to do, you know, setting aside the failed government, you know, issues with that. This is a time to stand with the Lebanese people.
Yes, it's true. And we always ask for the aid to go directly to the people, to organizations such as Caritas and the Lebanese Red Cross. And no money should go to the Lebanese government. We have a corrupt government, a pro-Hezbollah government, a terrorist organization. And we do not trust them at all.
I was going to ask, do you trust the government to do a good job in investigating the cause of this and also in leading the recovery from it?
No, I don't, and we don't. And we're asking for an international court or tribunal to investigate this. And this comes right now at the heel of a very important in Lahaj on Friday. The International Court is going to be giving the names of people that assassinated the former Prime Minister Hariri. I think it's been like 13, 14 years ago. Hmm. And they have indicted the names of people that belong to Hezbollah, four of them at least, that were implicated in the bombing of Rafiq Hariri.
Wow. Now, Tufik, I know that you were born not too far from Beirut. How has it been for you personally to witness what's happening there?
Devastating. I've lost many friends, and I've lost two very close friends.
I've
been there. I lived there. One of them was, very close friend that we've fought together during that the Lebanese war. And the numbers are going up. Over 100 are dead right now, and over 4,000 injured.
It's just absolutely devastating. And Tufik, please know of our condolences and our prayers for you, for all of the Lebanese people. In addition to our prayers, though, how would you suggest that we help?
Well, there are many ways, especially right now. IDC, in Defense of Christians, will post today on our website a way to help through a sister organization. It's called Solidarity, and it is supported by the Vatican and other Catholic organizations. We will launch it today, and people will be able to support our brothers and sisters in Lebanon who are really suffering right now. And 100% of the donations would go directly to the people. So there's no overhead, there's no, so all the money will go directly to the people with no overhead, neither here in the United States or in Lebanon. And it's 501c3 that is registered here in the United States.
And it's clear that the people of Lebanon need all the help that they can get from anyone willing to help. And I know that our listeners are very generous. And so we will have In Defense of Christians. In fact, we already do have In Defense of Christians linked in our show notes for today at sonrisemorningshow.com for listeners to get more information about the work you do and to find that link to Solidarity when it's up. And Tufik Baklini, again, please be assured of our prayers for you and all of the people of Lebanon. And thank you so much for waking up to speak more about this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, definitely keep Lebanon in your prayers. That will do it for this national edition of the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We've got two more hours coming up for our local audience and anyone listening via the Sunrise Morning Show app, which you can download at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. For Matt Swaim and Paul Lockman, I'm Anna Mitchell. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.